We have 3 weeks left of this series that we've been doing, Confronting Confusion. And the goal is that throughout this entire series, that the veil is lifted on all the ways that Satan works to draw people away from the truth. Now, lately, you know, there's some long nights where I couldn't sleep in Cambodia, and we were pretty blessed to have Wi-Fi on this trip. And the algorithms on social media are always hitting on the similar things, no matter what platform I'm on. And right now, it's been showing me videos of the inside secrets to magic tricks. I don't know. Like, I've never wanted to be a magician. I've never been curious, but all of a sudden, it's just popping up regularly. And so, you know, dumb old me, it's like, I'll watch that. And what I know about magicians is the ultimate tool they use is deception, right? That is their ultimate tool. And he causes you, the magician, to look at one thing while he's doing another thing. Misdirection. And I can tell you that something I also observed while I was over there, that over the course of the last 3 weeks, you know, I'm loosely connected with the news and what's going on, but I saw a constant frenzy. Like, if you're on social media, there is this constant frenzy where there's this wave of political outcry every day, working everyone up to the point of, we need to demand a response from every individual. And I asked myself, and this was a deep question that I'm still wrestling with, what is it they're distracting us from? What are they distracting us from? Because I can tell you that when I consider the spiritual nature of life, at the core of who Satan is, his goal is to distract people from God. And so I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 this morning. And I'm going to read it. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. God, I pray that each and every person in here will seek understanding into what you are saying. Lord, that we might come out of here knowing you more and pursuing you more. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Did you see the Apostle Paul right up front? He says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Now, I think one of the ways that Satan works is he veils God's light, he veils the gospel, he makes it confusing, he makes it a punchline, he makes it a joke. And what I can't escape is that if you really tap into it, if you seek it, there are spiritual realities, but he has this ability by pulling this veil down that those spiritual realities almost become invisible where we don't notice them. And what Paul touched on, that Satan is blinding us so that we are unable, this is the exact words he used, unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are many ways that he does this, but primarily what Satan does is he targets the desires of our flesh. He says, I know they desire this in the physical, that they're more tied to the physical than the spiritual, and if there's anything that he can do to sway us so we're remaining in the physical, we're thinking about all the physical things and how we're affected by it, then what we do is we take our eyes off Christ. Now, in all of my travels, I come across cultures that might not believe in Jesus, but they still believe that there's spiritual powers at work. And so I go to these cultures that they are very spiritual. They're just serving the wrong God. And I would look at our country and our culture And what I find that time and time again, what we do is we don't yield to other spiritual things. We yield to fleshly desires. And so in turn, what we're doing is we're ignoring those spiritual realities. For instance, something that has just opened my eyes up more and more is that we are convinced as a society that we must be entertained all the time. And entertainment culture, all that it is it's more or less a distraction. It's a coping mechanism as an escape from the realities that we don't want to face. But it's also rooted in fleshly desires. You know, I see it in sports more than anything else by far, and some people go as far to say that their sports experience or their sports team, maybe they won it all, and they might use the phrase, it was a spiritual experience. And I would ask you this question. What about that experience connected you with eternity? It was a fleshly one. It was a fleshly experience. See, many misdirections, what they're doing is they're blinding us to the truth that prevents us from seeing God's glory. In fact, what we in turn do when we're focused on other things, we give glory to other things. Now, Paul made it clear. Satan's the god of this world. He is the god of this age. And so as time draws near, as we get closer to the return of Christ, much of what Satan is doing, I am seeing is becoming more and more blatant. It's more in your face than it's ever been before. Where in the past, he tried to use deception and make it seem like something that's good and it's really bad. But now it's becoming more and more blatant. Listen to John 14:30. These are the words of Christ. He says, I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. Now, Jesus goes on to say, he has no power over me. But the reality is, we are open to be deceived. And I can tell you that as I've looked over the course of my life at the act and works of Satan, where satanic acts used to be done more in secret, it seems like it is more on display than ever before. You know, we know about this more than pretty much any other state in the U.S., that even a statue of the Baphomet was in our capital, right? So here was this open display of we are choosing to worship Satan. And we know that that doesn't work on believers, because we've been warned against such things. And Satan isn't going to use these blatant tactics to try and lure you. He's going to use what seem like more innocent ones. And so what he does is he uses these everyday distractions in our life. Maybe it's materialism. Maybe like me, you're prone to desire shiny things, new shiny things. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe when bad things happen to you, you immediately go to questioning God. Questioning his motives in your life, what God's actually up to. Maybe it's just our culture. All those things, they work together to veil God's glory where we don't see it as clearly as we should. And so, whether you and I, we are drawn to those shiny objects, or we're doubting whether or not God is at work in our life, or we're distracted by what's on the news, we're not seeing what God is doing spiritually and the war, the spiritual war that is taking place. You know, really, it's all a big distraction from the truth. Our life is finite. This life is fleeting. And it could end at any moment, and there is limited time for you and I and those who don't know Christ to discover who God is. And so we need to be people that we are on mission seeking to go spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Because listen, if I don't deserve it, and clearly no one deserves it, so everyone deserves to hear about it because God has afforded it to me. So in turn, it should be afforded to everybody. Satan's really good about distracting us with busyness. And I'm must say, there is nothing that irritates me more than hearing people use busyness as an excuse, especially to get close to God. Nothing irritates me more because busyness, for the most part, is a choice. Now, there are times in our life where we can't help it, but what I have learned is we have the ability to say, no, not for me. That's not going to get in between me and God. I was really wrestling with this thought this last Christmas because it feels like there is not a busier time in the year than at Christmas time. And I said, I told Wendy, I just want everything simplified. I want things so simple in my life this year. I was tired of the rush of past Christmas seasons and thinking that we had to go to every Christmas party on the face of the earth and we have to buy all the things for all the people and that we just had to check off every Christmas season box. By the way, the whole time ignoring the true purpose of Christmas. And you and I can say, well, no, Christ is a part of all that, and we make sure that we introduce Christ into everything that we do, but I am telling you the guilty thing that we have done is we have made Christmas more about us than about him. I'd argue he's part of Christmas, but he hasn't been the focus. And it's that veil of the gospel's light where you and I, we're not seeing it clearly. Often our minds have been blinded. Now, the second way that we see Satan blind people is he snatches away the sown word of God. Have you ever read scripture or heard scripture read that immediately it does something in your heart when you hear it? Satan is put to action when God's word is planted. And so one of the greater parables that Jesus tells, I absolutely love it, is the parable of the sower. And it is focused on what that actively working seed that has been sown, the word of God, where it's being actively sown into the hearts of men. And then Jesus starts breaking down all the responses that follow that. And he says in Mark 4:15, listen to this. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. And it's exactly the same as that magician's sleight of hand, that the moment that we hear the gospel, and some even receive it, he swoops in to misdirect us. Get us thinking about other things. And so when people accept Christ, I always warn them. I say, Satan is going to actively work against you now. He's going to actively work. And he's going to present people with doubts. He's going to present people with hardships and temptation. And what he wants to do ultimately is Satan wants to ensure our minds stay in darkness. That we don't discover the God's truth. We don't allow it to take root in our lives. Because the more God's word takes root in your heart, the more difficult it becomes for Satan to deceive you and I. And so you have to dedicate yourself to his word. And so what happens is that the moment people accept Christ, he springs into action immediately. He's like, this is too new in their heart. It's too fresh. It hasn't yet taken root. And so I'm going to go on the attack now. And it is a delicate time. And he knows it. And he knows there's going to be a tearing away from the world and a wrestling with, I used to do these things and I shouldn't be doing them anymore. And Satan's like, well, we're going to test that. And I think we as the church, we don't always do an adequate job of helping new believers realize the battle that they're inserting themselves into. And this is why that we need to engage in God's word upon salvation and begin to understand the work that God has accomplished through Jesus. And so what I do is I encourage you to do the same exact thing, that anyone who comes to accept and believe in Jesus Christ, that upon the moment they are saved, I'm like, okay, now you need to start. Here's a Bible. I put a Bible in their hands, and I say, you need to commit to reading the Gospel of John. And once you've read the Gospel of John, you need to commit to reading Romans. Because I think what those things do is it brings us comprehension, that it moves us of the status of lost to found, where we know what God has actively done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, where we move from an unbeliever to a believer. We need to act while the soil is fertile and let that seed take root. Now, when he snatches the word from hearts, it reinforces the blinding. Listen, we were blinded before the word of God, and then what happens when God tries to actively work in people's lives, and yet they end up turning from it or rejecting it? Now, we had a very difficult situation in Cambodia, and one of our men while we were there decided that he was going to divorce his wife for non-biblical reasons. And I was trying to deal with this behind the scenes and trying to get this situation fixed. And the hard part was that he was clearly acting like he no longer wanted to be there. He had checked himself out, and he told me he wanted to go home. And so I had a decision to make, and I decided to approach the situation with God's word. But it was clear that what was going on in his life, that he had kind of been blinded by the situation, that he was discounting God's word, and he refused to hear godly principles. And so everything that I presented to him was met with excuses. And I understand that, you know, life pressures, they creep up, and then all of a sudden scripture becomes a little bit more personal and it hurts, and it's like, well, I like everything in God's word but that. I don't like that thing. And I acknowledge sometimes God's word is sharp. It is cutting. And you and I, we are given the choice to either receive it or reject what God is telling us. It's a tremendous tactic by Satan, where we dismiss scripture, especially when it's pointed right at us. And so we might make excuses. We might say, you know what, my situation is different. Or we see God's word as an attack when it's his life preserver. It's God's attempt to try and save us and rescue us. Now, I can tell you good news about this story. It was about 3 days later, continuing to deal with this man, and he acknowledged in front of the entire team that his approach was wrong and he had a lot of things he needed to work on. And so when I tell you that men that join our team go on these trips and often have never done something like that, that God brings these impurities that are already there. They're already inside of us. He brings them to the surface, and that is God's way of refining us. And he takes off all those impurities and he scrapes it off. And I got to tell you, that is such a painful process. You know, we hear that and we think, man, I want God to refine me. I want God to do a great work in me. And we don't think about the pain that it takes to get there. But that's God. And that's the way God works. Lastly, we can be blinded by Satan tempting and undermining our faith. Do you know Satan doesn't stop at unbelievers? He targets believers too. He targets people that have been in the Word of God and have served God, some for a very long time, where all of a sudden all he has to do is just twist God's Word enough to erode our faith. In 1 Thessalonians, we read Paul's concern for the church in Thessalonica. And it was a church plant that became well-established, and Paul acknowledges that they could get steered away. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Listen to what it says. He says, "That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless." Now, we see all kinds of ways in Scripture that mention how Satan works to sway Christians away. One of them in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, Paul mentions having itching ears. Have you guys ever read that before? Paul says that people have itching ears. He says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And they will reject the truth and chase after myths." Another one is the doctrine of demons. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul says, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons." And you know what ultimately that is? If you want me to break it down for you, that is us putting ourselves above God. And you and I, we are not immune. We are not immune to these attacks from Satan. And many of us in this room, after tasting and seeing that God is good, we can still be at risk of falling away. And that's why we read words like Peter implores us, guard your heart. That is why Paul focuses on finishing well. Because we as humans, we are so weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, our main text this morning, in verse 7, Paul says, we're like fragile clay jars. We can break so easy. And even after seeing who Jesus is, we can so easily trade the truth for a lie just because it feels better. Ultimately, because of trials, sins, fears, it can make faith seem so futile sometimes. And that's why we're encouraged, stay on guard at all times, not becoming susceptible to his actions, and be ready knowing that the enemy is on the attack. Now, those who are in this church a lot know that I don't preach on Satan a lot. But something I know is he is always trying to deceive. And we need to be on guard. I don't want to be susceptible to his schemes. I want to recognize when there's misdirection happening. And here's the rule. Here's to know how you won't be deceived. Here's to know how you won't fall for the sleight of hand. Don't look away from Christ. Don't look away from him. When moments get difficult in your life, where are your eyes? Where are you looking? I was thinking yesterday, when my eyes were not focused on him, they were drawn more to my situation. And my two oldest sons were diagnosed with autism on the same day. And obviously we knew there were underlying issues or they wouldn't have been at that appointment in the first place. We knew there was these issues, but it didn't have a name. And I remember the diagnosis just leaving Wendy and I absolutely devastated. And instead of taking the situation to God, what happened is that I blamed it on him. I look for a blame anywhere other than this. This is the situation that God has presented us with. I wanted to fix it. Lord, whatever I can do to fix it. And so I started looking for worldly solutions, and Wendy and I, we didn't even want to go out in public, and we're just trying to secure everything that was within our own home, and that was a true test of our faith. God reminded me through a bad situation that Wendy and I went through 3 months after we were married. Don't take your eyes off me. So I had to fix my eyes on him. And a verse that is extremely meaningful to me is Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. I can tell you that I embrace that in my life like never before, where I love my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. My boys are some of my greatest joys in life. I walked in the house Thursday around 4:30. Josiah, he gets home from Link Associates around 4. And for the next 45 minutes, he had to tell me everything that happened in the previous 2.5 weeks. Every little gift, Cindy, that he got with you, he paraded out to me. And it was exhausting. I was exhausted. But it brought me joy. And now when I look at my oldest two sons, I see a gift from God. And I see God at work in ways that I never did 20-some years ago. He's so amazing. And all I have to do is just fix my eyes on him and trust and know that God is with me. He is in our situation, and he has our best interest in mind. God has that for you. But you and I, we must redirect our focus onto him and embrace that he and him planting eternity in our hearts, that is our true reality. That is what he has. You and I, we weren't created for this life. And so what that idea rejects, it completely rejects Satan's foothold. Any foothold he had is completely removed. I'm going to completely look to Christ and trust and know that he is with me. You and I, we choose to not be blinded from God. So I say, God, lift the veil. Let your truth take root in my heart. Don't let me be misdirected. I'm yours. That's what God wants for you. And listen, the battle can be so tough sometimes. But if you just hold on and keep your eyes fixed on him, you're going to one day find yourself in eternity with God saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want you to bow your heads. Lord, there are so many people in this room that, God, I know are hurting. Lord, the enemy has been on the attack, and there have been times where we've let him win. God, there have been times where our flesh has got the best of us, and we take our eyes off of you. But Lord, today, I want to stand with people that declare in my life, my eyes are fixed on the realities of heaven. God, I choose to look to you and your Son who sits at your right hand. God, I embrace the things of you. I reject the things of this world. I reject the lies from the enemy. I reject the misdirection, the schemes that try and sway me away from you. If you're here today and you feel that, and you feel like he has tricked you, you feel like he has schemed you and brought misdirection into your life, or you are just declaring, I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus, I encourage you to stand up with me right now to say, I am not going to let him distract me anymore. Would you stand with me if that's you? Praise God. Church, it is so easy. It is so easy. We are flesh. And so we see this flesh, and so often we ignore the things of the Spirit. But I know that if I cry out to God, if I dedicate myself to His Word, if I pray to Him, that God, He reveals more and more of His Spirit to me, and I realize I am more spirit than flesh. Because He has created me for an eternal purpose, and my flesh ain't gonna make it. But my spirit is. And so what I encourage you to do right now is let's lift up both hands to God. Let's declare to Him that we are His. And Lord, I just thank You for each and every person that is standing here today that says, God, I completely turn myself over to You. Lord, I might have turned my eyes away from You. Or Lord, there might be some standing today that says, I've never fully committed to looking to You and trusting You. And God, we acknowledge this morning that Your Son came to this earth to live and die for us and was raised again on the third day, and He now sits at Your victorious right hand. Lord, Satan might be the prince of this age and this world, but God, that has an expiration date on it. And Lord, we know that You already have the victory. And so God, we just commit to You. I keep my eyes fixed on the realities of heaven. I keep my eyes fixed on You and Your kingdom. And so, God, we just reject the things of the flesh right now. Lord, we reject the misdirection of the enemy. And Lord, we embrace Your truth in our lives. Let us be men and women of boldness and courage, and understand the battle we are facing. And may we be alert, on guard at all times. Lord, I praise You and I thank You. God, we declare You are good. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen.